There's no past for heroes, an image is a fraud. It's a Jerry Springer world and you can't stand tall in a shopping mall, so you better learn to crawl. Kumbaya, Lord, we throw our treasures on the floor.
Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have an absolutely wonderful, wonderful story to share with you. And if this is your first time tuning into the Donna Sebo Show, I know it will be a memorable time for you. My guest today is Mr. Cliff Fazzolari, and his book is titled The House of Miracles. And it is just, well, it just touched my heart so deeply that I could not have Mr. Fazzolari on the air with us, because it is a story totally from the heart. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate you bringing me on.
Well, your book, House of Miracles, Where Medicine and Miracles Meet, captivated me from the very first page. And one of the reasons that it captivated me is because in today's world, there is so much talked about what is not right with our health system, with medical care. It's being bombarded all the time. But your story is a very, very special one. And I want you to share with us what it is that your personal experience entailed and why you decided you wanted to write this very, very wonderful book.
Sure. My son had a tumor on his chest, and I wrote a book about that called Counting on a Miracle, which I had published in 2003. And he was basically cured at the Women and Children's Hospital in Buffalo, and it was a miraculous recovery, to say the least. The tumor had covered his entire chest cavity, and they really didn't give us much of a chance for him to come through the operation.
Now, Cliff, he had, and correct me if I'm incorrect with how I'm pronouncing this, crab leukodystrophy. I have never, ever heard of it. What is it? Because he wasn't even 2 years old when they found this out.
Yes, it's very rare, and, you know, it happens occasionally, but usually they're able to catch the tumor before it becomes enlarged. But in his case, they misdiagnosed it and were treating him for asthma, and part of the treatment plan was to inject him with steroids, which made the tumor grow to a massive proportion. And when he showed up at the hospital emergency room, there was just basically a buzz going through the place, and I kept hearing people say, "Fazzolari, Fazzolari," and I was like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And it was so large that they were even concerned about putting him under for the first time to do a biopsy, because they thought that would kill him. And so they tried to shrink it. We went through 6 weeks of some chemotherapy on and off. The tumor didn't shrink at all. And then in the meantime, you know, we kind of came home because he was feeling better, and he was asymptomatic. And in that time frame, the doctors, and I found this out later, much later, the doctors took his case and presented it at a couple of different places across the country, in San Francisco to be specific, and they found out the best course of action for treating this type of a tumor. And I, like I said, I didn't know any of this until after Jake was home and cured and healthy and happy, and he still is. Excuse me. But that was part of I was amazed at the work that they did. And from day one that we walked into the place, I was amazed at how they treated us. You know, it wasn't a situation where he was a patient and, oh my God, well, you know, he's going to die, and there's not a lot we can do. They took it and they treated him as if they were one of their children of the staff members, and we were fortunate to have him home. And once the story was told, you know, we were, you know, singing the praises of everybody involved. But Counting on a Miracle was more of a personal story and what it meant for me to become a father. So I was in the shower one day, and I'm like, man, nobody ever thanks them specifically. And at the time, I was reading Studs Terkel's book, Working, which was, I guess, just good timing, you know. And I thought, wow, I should interview some of the people involved and just have them tell their story. And just, you know, as human beings, because a lot of times we look at a children's hospital and you think it's just a building, you know, and you know, you go there if it's absolutely necessary, and you know, you're happy that it's there when you need it, but that's pretty much how it passes through your mind. Well, I wanted people to get to know the people inside, because the people inside that showed me the compassion, I knew they had it in their hearts, and I wanted to share their story. I have this personal pet peeve where we put athletes up on a pedestal for catching a football, or you know, and we know the name of the long snapper on the Buffalo Bills here, but we don't know the pediatric surgeon that saves 20 or 30 lives a year of our children. And I just thought that was a shame, and it was part of the reason why I wanted to write the book. And it kind of, you know, once I started, I was like, oh my God, I got to interview all these people. And it was something where I thought, well, I don't know, you know, I'll try to do the legwork. But everybody at the hospital was so accommodating that I was able to put this story together relatively quickly. And there was one patient story that touched my heart so much, and the mother of the sick child who will never be well, Trina Stinson, and her son Anthony. She said to me, if you could memorialize my son, I really would appreciate it.
And that is a very, very special story, Cliff, and we will touch on that, because I don't want to not include the story of her son, because it's a story about a mother, it is a story about staff, it is a story about love and caring, and regardless of circumstances, persevering and being willing, whether the outcome is positive or negative, dependent on your perception of same, they're still giving their best. I like what you said, Cliff, in your book, that this was a way of saying thank you to what you described as a small set of true heroes who work hard every day and find their own rewards in the doing of the job. And again, these are people that are entrusted with the care of children. Many of the conditions are terminal, so they try to do the best they can with these children. I'd like to start off with Sister Brenda Whelan, because you have such a phenomenal interview with her. And she made a statement in your interview that prayers aren't magic. There are times when recoveries are made and times when they're not. Sometimes the healing is in letting go. I just think her candor, as it is with all of the people that you interviewed, is just quite amazing. She really lets you in on the inside track of what she does every single day.
Yes, and that's the thing that's amazing to me, is that, and if you were to meet Sister Brenda, she's one of the more lively people and more happy people that you'd ever meet. And she was one of the first interviews that I did, so I was a little bit nervous and a little apprehensive. I think I put that right in the story. And part of the reason was is I couldn't fathom how she could be so lively and so upbeat when there was a real possibility that on any given day she could walk into a life and death situation. And I've always found it remarkable that people respond in positive ways in situations like that. And Sister Brenda was the perfect person to go to right off the bat because she gave a unique perspective to the entire child care spectrum. And, you know, I appreciate the way that she incorporated faith into it because, you know, I wasn't pushing anybody in any certain direction, even though my faith played a big part in Jacob's recovery. And Sister Brenda just filled all the gaps and kind of gave me the lay of the land on how healthcare is handled at the hospital.
Now, you have in here, as you mentioned a moment ago, a few stories about some particular people. And you have the stories of Linda Eichberger and Sue Poppenberg. And you have right at the beginning of the chapter about them, everything in life is most fundamentally a gift, and you receive it best and you live it best by holding it with very open hands. Now, this is specifically relating to the Women and Children's Hospital of Buffalo, New York, and you have a wonderful, wonderful statement there. But talk about Linda and Sue.
Linda and Sue are in the NICU, which is a neo-intensive care unit at the hospital. And the children that they normally are dealing with are premature births, and some of them are, you know, extremely premature. And both Linda and Sue had been at the hospital over 20 years each, I believe. And, you know, it was funny because they were very nervous during the interview. And I think a couple of questions in, they were openly crying because they were very thrilled that somebody wanted to talk about what they did to keep those children alive. And I mean, it was just, you felt like life was in that room. I mean, and the beginning of life and being in there, and hopefully I did justice to their stories, because that's where, you know, life and miracles and expectations are most heightened. You know, you have a child and he's born, say, 6 weeks premature, and you're thinking, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen? And here's a couple of nurses that, you know, thrive on the fact that they're able to pull these children out of dire situations and hand them back to parents who are appreciative, and in some cases, when we talked about that too, not so appreciative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, oh, well, he, you know, the child made it, you know? But the interview with them encompassed their entire 20 years at the hospital. And, you know, to give a moment's notice to those types of people, I mean, to me, was just a thrill of a lifetime, you know?
Well, I want to also bring out, and this is the Women's and Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York, and it's the region's largest and most advanced neonatal intensive care unit. It's called NICU. It provides the highest level of care possible for the most critically ill newborns. As the Regional Prenatal Center for Western New York, 17 hospitals from the region's 8 counties and 3 institutions in Erie and Warren, Pennsylvania, transfer their most critically ill infants and high-risk expectant mothers to the Women and Children's Hospital because they have the highest skilled medical care, and the teams of specialists in the neonatal intensive care represent highly trained and specialized health professionals, and they're very dedicated to delivering the most state-of-the-art care available. These include, and stop and think of this, ladies and gentlemen, it's just not a doctor. It's physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, respiratory, occupational, physical therapists, neonatal transport teams, nutritionists, psychologists, social workers, and pharmacists. They're all included in this, and they're specially trained in the care of infants and children, and critically ill newborns have immediate access to a complete range of pediatric subspecialists. They're the only hospital in their region to have pediatric surgical subspecialists for dental medicine, neurosurgery, ophthalmology, orthopedics, otolaryngology, and urology, and general pediatric surgery. And annually, just this one facility cares for more than 700 infants, nearly 300 of whom are transferred from hospitals within the regional prenatal network. That is an incredible number. And what these people go through is just absolutely amazing. Now let's touch on Anthony Stinson. His mother should be absolutely endowed with a halo of gold that's 4,500 miles wide.
And I agree with you. She was, Trina and Anthony, it touched my heart, and Nicholas is Anthony's older brother. What happened was I was on the pediatric family-centered care board at the hospital, and basically it's a group of parents that meet to talk about improvements that can be made at the hospital. And this is a new initiative that the president of the hospital enacted so that the level of care would be even higher. And I met Trina Stinson through that, and I had written Counting on a Miracle at that point, so we just got into discussing writing and things of that sort. And I said, geez, I'd really, you know, when I had the idea to write the book about the hospital again, the House of Miracles, I mentioned to her, there might be some patient stories. And I had no idea what the condition of Anthony was. I just knew that Trina was a very faithful parent at these meetings and very voiceful and very passionate. So she said, if you would you include Anthony in your story? And I said, sure. And I set up the interview, and I traveled to Trina's home, and I knew something was a little bit different when I got to the door and saw, oxygen, no smoking, and right at the front door. And when I walked in, and you kind of visualize this, I saw Anthony in a hospital bed. And now he's 7 years old, and he's been in that hospital bed in the middle of the Stinson living room since the time he was 4 years old. He had a undiagnosed genetic breakdown. Identified itself by he went blind at the age of three. Trina and her husband at that time were devastated by the fact that their child might be blind, but at the age of four, the breakdown just seized his body. And he's limited to movements of, smiling or occasionally moving his feet. But the other 24 hours a day, basically, is spent him just in a bed with a respirator and Trina taking care of him, making sure that he doesn't get bed sores, making sure that he gets all his fluids, that he is nursed around the clock. And as I said, I walked into the interview thinking, we got a sick kid who's going to get well, but immediately I knew that that wasn't the case. And Anthony Stinson will never be well, but it's a remarkable transformation and love. It's just an incredible story of Trina's love for her sons and her dedication to her sons. And I wish everybody in the world, and I really think it'd be a better place if everybody in the world met Trina Stinson, and just understood what love is and what compassion is and what a bond between a mother and a son is. And when I walked out of that interview, I thought to myself, I might not even be up for the task of writing this, because it was just overwhelming. It was one of the strangest feelings that I ever had, and Trina said, if you could just do this for me. And I knew that how many months it took me or whatever it took, I was going to do it, and I was going to do it for them,
Yes, and this is a woman that has walked a road of tremendous difficulty. One of the very important factors of any medical team is the physician. So many times doctors isolate themselves. They are very detached. I was talking with someone just day before yesterday where they said they were in with a doctor and the doctor was just not willing to talk to him more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and that was it. They were cold. They were impersonal. And I thought, what a joy it is to read about Dr. Michael Caddy in your book, actually to read about the staff at the hospital. All of the people there in general are so committed. They care so much about what they do. They really have a passion for their work. But this doctor, to me, represented the epitome of what a physician should be, because he's the leader of the group. And I just was so impressed with your statement of your interview with him, where he said, "A long time ago, back in medical school, I tried hard to recognize and adopt the best trait from each individual I'd meet. I still try and live that way. I believe that if you work hard, success will come to you. Yet more than anything else, men and women enter this profession to help people, and that's at the center of it all." This man really walked the talk.
He's an amazing man. Just from the moment you meet him, his eye contact is right on you. He's smiling. He knows your name, and he's interested in what you have to say from the first words that come out of your mouth. And I've become friends with him, and he saved my son's life, so I've gotten to know him a little bit. And the fact of the matter is, he treats everybody with that same respect. And I think that is the key, you know, the doctor that you were speaking of. Sometimes, you know, they lose the fact that they're dealing with human beings. And Dr. Katie, I mean, you walk through the halls of the hospital with him, he's talking to the janitorial staff, he's talking to the girl at the cash register in the cafeteria, and he knows all their names, and he knows all their stories. And every time I've seen him in 10 years, he's been very tired. And, you know, I walk out of a meeting with him thinking to myself, oh, my God, I should be able to dedicate myself a little bit more to what I do. But his passion is just unimaginable to most of us, you know. And that was one of the reasons why, you know, I wanted to interview a guy like him, because, you know, sometimes you do go in and you blame the doctor, and you might not get the result that you want. And he kind of put a voice to the fact of, you know, we do our best in almost every situation, and I'll get up in the middle of the night to go check on a patient that, you know, might not allow me to sleep perfectly well, you know, if I know that there's some trouble around the corner. So he'll do that. He'll get up in the middle of the night. His wife will say, "Where are you going?" And I got to go check on, you know, one of these patients. So he's a remarkably dedicated man, very intelligent. He's just a great guy, too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. In fact, he made the statement, "You can get lost in this field and lose your connection with people. I've been able to stay balanced by asking myself how I would want to be treated if I were sick and lonely." And I think that that is so significant. Part of your book is being dedicated not just to the hospital, but the funds from the sales of this book. What is it going into, Cliff?
Well, basically the Women and Children's Hospital Foundation. They have a foundation where donations will go strictly to that foundation. Each book that I signed, including with Counting on a Miracle, I would include an envelope, and then I would donate a portion of my profits from the book to the hospital. So people were free to make donations also by using an envelope, by contacting the hospital. We tried to put that contact information into the back of House of Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunate that healthcare does get a bad name these days. And I think one of the other doctors, Dr. Feldman, had mentioned that, you know, people expect 2010 healthcare at 1975 prices. And that's one of the problems, is that, you know, when you're in a dire situation, you're like, "I want the best care, I want the best this, I want the best that." And sometimes to do that, you know, it's going to cost some money that's not there. And, you know, in a community in, you know, the size of Buffalo, maybe where you live.
Absolutely. He also said, Dr. Feldman did, and he is featured in your book as well, that the Children's Hospital, Women and Children's Hospital, is an institution where they help everybody, regardless of circumstance. And he said there may be some things that can be done differently, but on a grand scale, he's very proud of the fact that they take care of people. And as a physician, that is his positioning. He really feels that you're doing the best you can. And I agree with you in that in today's world, there's so many misconceptions, and I know when there is a child that's ill, it's so painful because you feel so helpless. The children cannot always communicate. It's like Anthony. All you know is that they're in a lot of pain, and you just feel absolutely, totally helpless. And I can say, just knowing medical professionals who have a tremendous love of children, they feel the same way. And so what they try to do is work from the basis of let's find out what we can. And it's really tough. And your heartwarming story about the nurses, how they work with the parents, how they deal with the anxiousness, this is a tremendously stressful environment for any medical professional that cares. And no matter how much knowledge you have, you never have enough because nothing is black and white, just like with your son. They thought they were helping him in one way, and it wasn't. It was doing exactly the opposite. And your son was very fortunate. Now, you have so many wonderful stories in here, so many special things to share. And like we said, there is the information about how people can make donations if they like. Part of the money that comes from the book is going to be going to the hospital itself. I know we're just about out of time, Cliff. Is there something, or do you have a website regarding what you're doing in the House of Miracles that people could go to if they'd like to find out more?
Yes, there's a couple of websites, actually. My one is my publisher's website, which is SterlingHousePublisher.com.
SterlingHousePublisher.com.
And also I have a website, CountingOnAMiracle.com. And you could read more about Jacob's story and how that all came about. And there's also a link to the Women and Children's Hospital of Buffalo there. The book can also be ordered on Amazon.com or toll-free at 1-888-542-2665.
That's 888-542-2665.
Yes.
And again, the Sterling House Publisher.com, Sterling, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, House Publisher.com. And then you can also go to CountingOnAMiracle.com. And that website will have information about Cliff's son, Jacob, and also the link that goes to the Women and Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York. And again, the toll-free number, should you want to order the book, is 888-542-2665. Cliff, as we're closing out our time together, is there something special that you would like to say to my audience or leave with them in the way of a thought?
Well, it's, you know, that we do. We have a tendency to escalate people who kind of don't deserve to be who thought of in such a light, you know. You got your movie stars and getting DWIs and everything else, and you got your football players and baseball players, and the real true heroes are, and believe me, I'm a guy who knows, are the ones that day in and day out do their job, not looking for any signs of recognition, but doing it for the love of their fellow human beings. And I, you know, you started the interview perfectly by saying that it's a positive spin on a situation that gets a lot of negative light, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. I think, you know, as a species, we're becoming awful leery of each other. You know, when we were kids, we used to know all of our neighbors up and down the street, and you'd go over to their house and play. And now you kind of just give a wave, and you think, I wonder what his story is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten a little bit of, I like the feeling of community. The Women and Children's Hospital has given our community a tremendous boost, and I'm just, you know, one guy sitting at a keyboard trying to give something back. So I appreciate, you know, the fact that the story's out there and that hopefully some people will share in it and get to know some truly extraordinary people.
Cliff, I thank you very much. My guest today has been Cliff Fazzolari. This is a father's story, a father who is very grateful for how he was able to see his son's life saved. But more than that, he talks about House of Miracles, where medicine and miracles meet. Cliff, thank you so much. Cliff Fazzolari, that's Fazzolari. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I want to give you out our, my toll-free numbers here of 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted you're able to join us. Know that all you need to do is call in. I just want your first name or your initial. I always enjoy knowing where you're calling from. And then after that, just let me do my thing. I'll give you my insights as I perceive them, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you're interested in discussing. I want to touch on something with Cliff's book, House of Miracles. I wanted to read to you an oath that one of the doctors that we were talking about, Dr. Caddy, at the Women and Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York. This is the oath of Maimonides. And it is something that when you think of this oath, and it is something that doctors take, these words are powerful words. And this is how it reads. Thy eternal providence has appointed me to watch over the life and health of my fellow human beings. May the love for my art actuate me at all times. May neither avarice, nor miserliness, nor thirst for glory, or for great reputation engage my mind. For the enemies of truth and philanthropy could easily deceive me and make me forgetful of my lofty aim of doing good to my patients. May I never see in the patient anything but a fellow creature of pain. Grant me strength, time, and opportunity, always to correct what I have acquired, always to extend its domain, for knowledge is immense, and the spirit of man can extend infinitely to enrich itself daily with new requirements. Today we can discover our errors of yesterday, and tomorrow we may obtain a new light on what we think of ourselves sure of today. I have been appointed to watch over the life and death of my fellow human beings. Here am I, ready for my vocation, and now I turn unto my calling. Those are very, very powerful words. And if someone is in the medical profession and they take that oath and they live by that oath, it's going to be a very special physician. And I think that it is something that we need to keep in mind. Because, again, as we discussed for just a few seconds, in today's world, so frequently we think that physicians, medical professionals, are miracle workers, and in truth, compared with what was known in the area of medicine, even 50 years ago, on so many levels, we have made progress. But there's always room for more progress. We never know it all, nor can a physician. So I just want to share a thought with you. If you're a patient, or if you have a loved one, or you know of someone that is under medical care, be an advocate for them. Doctors have to be questioned just as if, as we need to educate ourselves, and we're never going to know it all. But we must be willing enough to challenge, to ask, to be curious. We don't have to be obnoxious, but we do need to be supportive, because it takes a lot of training and a lot of education to get to a particular level of proficiency. And if someone's really dedicated to their profession, as these people of the Women and Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York, and there's so many other places around the world, not just in our country, but around the world, people whose hearts and souls really, really are dedicated to helping people get well. They want them to be well. But we forget that all they see day in and day out is sickness. They don't see healthy people. They see sick people, maimed people. So we need to keep that in mind as well. And I think sometimes we maybe need to walk in their shoes. Wouldn't hurt to do a little volunteer work maybe sometimes at a hospital to see what they actually go through. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. And we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I want to remind you that on the 15th and 16th of this month, I'm going to be making an appearance at the Wisdom Festival at the Fort Mason Center in San Francisco in the downtown area. I'm going to be speaking Saturday evening at 7 o'clock about mental ecology. I invite you and your friends to come along and to say hello. I'll be in booth 113. And for those of you that are going to be in, while you're up in Alaska, or you might be in New York City, or you're in Southern California, I'm going to be in each of those areas in October. If you'll go and go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, my newsletter has been put out. In the newsletter, there's also the calendar of information, and you'll be able to find out all about the appearances, including the appearance that I'm going to be doing at the Boeing Parapsychology Fair in the state of Washington in the city of Kent on the 29th of September. So you can get all of that information right there online. Just go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. And if, by the way, if you want to send me an email, if you have a special story, something that you want me to know about, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational, the whole word, yes, and it's two eyes, back to back. And I will respond to you as quickly as I can. I've got quite a hectic traveling schedule, but it is something I really enjoy doing, and I'm looking forward to meeting many of you at the different events and activities that I will be participating in. So don't forget, on the 15th and 16th, I will be in the San Francisco area, and you will be able to see me in person at the Wisdom Festival. Go to their website, wisdomfestival.com, and you will be able to find out all the details. They have maps on how to get there and talks about the fees and everything else. And don't forget, I'm speaking at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, the 15th, on mental ecology. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 if you should be in Canada. Also 530-876-3222. Are you aware that a dog's wagging tail can give you some pretty good information? Well, having two Scottish terriers, we pretty much are able to read our buddies fairly well. But you know what? In Italy, they did a little bit of research, and they said they think they've deciphered doggy tail wagging. A tail that's more to your pup's right means he's excited to see you, and a wag that's more to his left, however, says, back off. I've never noticed that it was either a left or a right wag. All I knew is that it was wagging. That's all that I cared about. But anyway, that's a little bit on Italian research. And I wanted to share with you a quote. And this is about Lady Bird Johnson, First Lady of the land. She started, after her husband left the presidency, she said she was interested in doing something that was significant. She said, it's wonderful to be in on the creation of something, see it used, and then walk away and smile at it. Now, one of the many, many things that she was involved with was a highway flower project. Now, she started this in 1965 when she was First Lady. And bless her soul, she's passed on now, but I'll tell you what, those wildflowers just absolutely bloom with all of their dynamic color and glory, and millions of people have enjoyed them through the years. And that is part of her legacy. She left a legacy of beauty, a legacy of nature, and I think that it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be remembered for. Sometimes we need to think about that. If we were to pass away tomorrow, what kind of a legacy would we leave? I remember listening to a wonderful, wonderful minister many years ago. In fact, he was one of my favorite people. His name was Dr. Bill Hornaday. And he talked one Sunday about how he had done a funeral for a family. And he said when he was going to preside over the funeral, you always expect to have a lot of people. However, at this particular person's funeral, only three people showed up. And when he talked to the people of the family and those that were there, he said, this is perplexing to me. There's only three of you. And they then proceeded to tell him the story about this man's life, which was not a very pleasant one, and how this man's legacy was one of total hate, and just nobody wanted to acknowledge him at all. Those that were there were those that were there only because they felt it was their duty. And when he was talking about the story, he made the comment, we need to think about what kind of a legacy we would like to have left. You know, sometimes people like to leave monuments, but what is it that really makes people turn out in mass? And I'm not talking about a celebrity. What is it that makes people turn out by the hundreds for an individual? It usually is because of the way they've lived their life and the way that they've touched the hearts and the minds of those that they have walked among. And this was something that occurred at a funeral service for a woman. Her name was Lily. And we knew her significant other. And when we went to the funeral service, we were really surprised at the hundreds of people that had turned out. This woman was a social worker. But she had touched the lives of so many people, and we never even knew about it. And they were all there to honor her and to say goodbye in their way, but to also say, we loved you. Wow, I don't think you could ask for anything more than that. So leaving a legacy, Lady Bird Johnson left a particular kind and her own style. But I think sometimes we need to remember that for ourselves. We need to say, what kind of a legacy do we want to leave? What is it that we want to be able to touch people's hearts and minds and experiences with? Of course, the best part is if you touch them with the depth of who you are. Just be who you are, and I'm sure you'll leave a legacy of light, insight, warmth, and love that they will carry forever, and they'll even talk about you when you're gone. But while you're here, you're living, and you want to stay active, and staying active is something that's very important. We're going to talk about hogs. Aha, got you there. You didn't expect that one, did you? Well, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, if you want to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. And when we come back, I'll either talk to you or I'm going to talk to you about some special young kids and, hogs. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny, I want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dennis Adams. We're going to be talking about honest, direct, and respectful. This is a topic I think is really in need of discussing, because too frequently today, a lot of people don't realize how significant that is on so many levels of life. So Dennis Adams is going to be my guest. Now, I want to let you know, on Friday, we're going to have the best of Donna. I am not going to be able to do my show in the afternoon, but next week, we're going to be coming back with Cosmic Ordering. We're going to be talking with Barbell Moore. This you are going to love. This woman is German, and she is just fabulous, wonderful sense of humor. We're also going to be talking about the ghosts of St. Louis. Yes, we're going to be talking about the Limp Mansion and all kinds of other spooks about St. Louis, Missouri. And then we're going to be talking about how you can eat clean. Toscarino's going to be my guest. And then the 10 Laws of Wealth and Abundance with Ron Willingham. Great dynamic lineup for next week. So tune in tomorrow. We've got a wonderful guest. Don't forget the Best of Donna on Friday. Now let's go to a caller who's waiting on the line. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Phoenix, Arizona, and my name is Debbie.
Okay, Debbie, as I'm watching you, I really feel that you have to stand back and really be thoughtful and attentive with every step you are taking. I feel as if I must measure and be very, very alert to how much I am going to do, when I'm going to do it, and how I'm going to do it. The words, two words, be prepared, are very important for you in this particular period. Not that that isn't a good adage to always keep in mind, but in this particular time frame especially, you are wanting not to waste any effort in any way or manner that is not going to prove to be a positive move forward for you. You want to really know that what you're doing is well-placed, centered, appropriate, so that you can move on to the next space. No wasting of time, effort, energy, so that you have the most efficient result possible. I don't know how you can improve upon that. I just want to say go for it and be consistent. Don't get stressed unnecessarily. Understand that stress comes with this kind of an attitude, but you really thrive in it when you are without unnecessary worry, where you just look at it and you almost have like tunnel vision and just go one step at a time, one foot right in front of the other, so to speak, and you're going to do exactly what you want to do. Now, you need to see a dentist. There is something with not just one tooth, but two teeth that will need to be corrected. I don't think it has to be that big a deal, but it does need to be done sooner rather than later. So be sure you get it done within at least the next 3 months. I do feel as if there is a problem with a vehicle. As I'm looking at this problem, I'm saying to myself, this doesn't have to be real expensive to fix, but you maybe should have an evaluation done because this looks like a small part. However, there might be something else that's being triggered. So a diagnostic might be a good idea if you want to just make sure that your vehicle is in top-notch condition, because you're going to be driving quite a bit, so you want to be sure that you take that step. Do you have a question for me today?
Well, thank you.
Hun, you'll need to speak up because I cannot hear you.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Thank you so much. There is a gentleman that has offered me kind of a business partnership to go into with him, and I'm wondering if you're seeing that as successful.
Well, it all depends on what he's offering. I believe that there are some points of information that are missing. I don't know. Can you tell me what it is that he's looking at doing?
It's kind of working as his personal assistant, but it's much, much more. And I have a valued place in the way of arranging his affairs and that kind of thing.
Okay. Now, when you say that, that doesn't make sense about going into business with him. That is, in my mind's view, contrary to that purpose. If you are going into a business enterprise, you need to do your homework. You need to be able to find out exactly what his agenda is. And this is just being straightforward. This is not playing any games, and anybody with any kind of self-respect, if this is a person of integrity, they will not mind this investigation because they would be surprised if you didn't do it. But as soon as you said an assistant, that turned me off because it does not sound right. Now, maybe you're not explaining it properly, and I realize we're on the air, and you may not want to go into details on the air, but I believe that you have to really look at this quite carefully. If you are going to be an assistant, then you have to ask yourself what kind of a compensation you're going to get with it, and you have to have it from the beginning. This isn't going to be a sweat equity situation. If he's wanted you as part of the business, quote-unquote, for sweat equity, which is what I am suspecting, then you're not in a business partnership here. There are some things that need to be looked at with clarity. And I want to say don't romanticize this. Look at it with a clear eye.
Okay. All
There's right. nothing here to romanticize. If you're going to be working, and if he wants you to work as a personal assistant, saying I'm going to be building a business, and this is what I would want for you to do, say fine. Let's discuss how much this is going to cost me. I am not going to be doing it for free. If he says, well, this is a business, it's going to be making $500,000 a year in the first year, and then we'll go from there. Say, thank you very much. That's not going to cut it. If you want me to put in this time and this effort, you want me to do your scheduling, I'm not going to do it for free.
Okay, so it has to be broken down bottom line on the dollars.
Well, it's more than that. You have to really get clear. You know, it's easy for someone to say, hey, I want you to go into business with it. Well, that's easy and convenient. That's wonderful. But what is that going to entail? What kind of a commitment are you going to have here? So you really need to get clear.
Okay.
Talk is cheap. And you have to look at your standard, where you want to be. Don't waste your time with someone that has promises here. Look at his track record. What has he been involved with? Who has he worked with? Talk to some of the people that he's worked with. After all, this is your time.
Absolutely. There was a business meeting that I attended this morning. Do you see any proposals?
Hun, I'm sorry. I am out of time.
Oh, okay.
I am out of time. Debbie, I appreciate your call, dear, but I do have to go.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You have a wonderful life. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You the captain of your soul. Life is a gift. Life is a wonderful gift. I want you to smile. I want you to enjoy it. And I want you to live it. Don't dream about it. I want you to live it. After all, this is your day. This is your now. And your now makes your future. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you, bright and sassy, tomorrow. Tell your friends, and we'll be able to chat. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.